the best Cork sporting action at the weekend.
One goal to win the title. It's as simple as that.
Can you believe this?
Have you ever seen a try like that?
The Big Red Bench
on Cork
Red FM.
Hello and good evening. You are listening to The Big Red Bench with myself, Orla O'Leary. And Cork and Waterford throw-in was just there at Walsh Park. And unfortunately, I can't watch it because it's on GAA+. So they're going a bit now TV on us or something with the like Premier League over in England. It's like that's what our GAA is turning into. But you know what? Fair enough. While you're in town, I'd say watching it, you're having a blast, or if you're listening in the car, hello. So I'll give you score updates about that throughout the day, but now we're going to move on to the Premier League, where Liverpool and Chelsea were playing at Anfield and it finished 1-1. But I would cheer about that result, but I can't, because Man United, we were away to Sunderland and it finished 0-0. So absolutely devastating for me. It was very frustrating to watch, to be honest, because like Sunderland, they were actually playing really well, and like to be fair, they deserved the draw. And you know, I have a soft spot for Sunderland because I have lived there for a year. But nonetheless, fair play to them, I suppose. But then we had Bournemouth and Fulham, and Bournemouth won that one 1-0, which brings them closer to a Champions League spot. They are only 3 points behind Villa, so they are really knocking at the door here. But the likelihood is Villa will get Champions League anyway, as they head into the final of the Europa League. And then Brighton beat Wolves 3-0. So really not a good year for Wolves, but never know, they might be back next year. I personally don't think so, but we will see. And Man City are playing at the moment. It is nil all there, which is surprising because Man City need to make a move on if they want to win the title. But nonetheless, I want Brentford to win, as our very own Caoimhín Kelleher on goal there. And the EFL Championship playoffs are currently on. Well, not right now, but they were on this weekend. So yesterday, Hull City and Millwall played and it was a nil all there. And today, Middlesbrough played today and they ended up drawing nil all against Southampton. So literally it's scoreless. It's actually anyone's game. Literally coming up like this week, next week, it's only a few days again. So literally it could actually go anyway. I have a feeling it could be Middlesbrough. I do personally want Millwall there because it would be class if they played West Ham. You know, that would be a really big derby. But I don't think that's going to happen, because imagine if like West Ham got relegated and Millwall got promoted. That would actually be hilarious. I would be devastated though, because that would be a good derby. But I personally think it's going to be Borough. And that will be all three of Northeast of England teams in the Premier League. So that would actually be fairly good. And Cork City Women's were in All-Ireland Cup action today. They were in the round two of the group stage and they played Treaty United and it finished nil all. So not too bad. We'll take that. And speaking of Cork City, we had a win last night against the UCD, the men's squad. So we're going to hear now from Rory O'Hagan, who was speaking to Hans Mpongo and Barry Robson after City's win against UCD last night.
Congratulations, you've got the match ball next to you. How good does that feel, that hat-trick tonight?
Oh, I can only thank Jesus Christ, honestly. I have no words. All the glory goes to Jesus. I actually have no words. I'm just thanking God. Honestly, I feel really happy that I was able to get my first professional hat-trick. Hopefully many more to come, and yeah, I'm very happy with it.
100%. There were three good finishes. You're in the right place at the right time for all of them.
Right place, right time, definitely. Shawnee's pen, the second one, and the third with Shawnee's assist. I was happy to be there at the right time, and yeah, it worked well.
It certainly did. The second one in particular, Harry Nevin goes on an amazing run down the right hand side and pulls a beautiful ball back.
Honestly, if I had the choice, I would give the man of the match to him. The whole game was just on it. You know, so I'm really happy that he was the one that assisted me with it. He deserved something from that game, so I'm happy that he gave me the assist. And yeah, it was a really good assist for me.
Certainly was. Given, I suppose, the tough week that you guys had last week, losing to Cove and losing to Kerry, how important was it to bounce back with a win tonight?
It was definitely important. It was something that we had to be reminded of who we are. Obviously, losses doesn't define us or anything. Of course, it won't always go as smooth as we want. We don't always get what we deserve. But I'm just happy that we had a victory today. And it showed us that we have the capability to win games and to keep on going in this form.
So it was a big confidence boost, so I suppose, isn't it, tonight?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, we just have to keep on going in this form and hopefully win many more games.
100%. And I suppose, like, the crowd as well tonight really got behind you tonight and certainly helped.
Like I always say, I find these fans amazing. You know, they're always behind us, whether we win, whether we lose. Like today, it showed. They could have easily just stayed home and be like, yeah, we lost twice in a row. Why should we even support them? But they were behind us today, and I'm really happy that they came today and helped us.
And as you say, Harry Nevin should have got the man of the match. You got the man of the match. What's that feeling like when you hear it being announced?
It's a good feeling. Immediately when I hear it, I just thank Jesus in the inside of me that he has been able to give me a platform where I can showcase myself on this and just get these type of rewards, you know. This is only because of Jesus.
And where's the match ball going to go?
Obviously now it's going back with me to my home, but when I go back to Holland, it's going to come with me. Hopefully it can come in a plane. I don't know if it's possible.
You might have to deflate it, yeah.
Okay, yeah, but yeah, it will just come with me and it will have a nice place in my room.
And congratulations, man.
Thank you very much. Tonight. Thank you.
Barry, that was just what the doctor ordered, I imagine, tonight.
Yeah, I think so. I think the big difference tonight, we took our chances. I think the first half, we were okay first half, but then I thought when we came out in the second half, we ran over the top of them for about 20-25 minutes, played some really good stuff and excited the fans. And I think boys deserve a bit of credit. Obviously, it was a difficult last week we had. You actually look at that, we probably performed similarly against Cove out there. Mm-hmm. And we never took our chances, and we took our chances tonight, so that shows you the difference. So it's good to get up and running again, and it puts us back to top of the league again with a game in hand.
Hands and Pongo with a hat trick, three simple finishes, but you've got to be in the right position to make those simple finishes.
Yeah, well, we have been working on things like that with the amount of chances that we have been getting. We took them there tonight, and I thought Hans was really good in the game, and we've been looking for him to score as many goals as he can. And there's been a few times he's probably not got in the right positions, but he did that really well tonight, and there was some great service that we gave him. So all in all, I thought we were in pretty much control of the game, especially as the game wore on. I was disappointed with losing a goal there in the last minutes of the game, but we were in total control and we showed how good a team that we are when we're at it.
Harry Nevin put in a lovely ball for that second, did a lot of great work before that as well.
Yeah, he did. I thought Harry had an outstanding game, and I think he, because the last two games he's grown stronger as he's came into it, and I think he's been very good. I thought he performed really well, but I think I was pleased with the result. But it was that 25 minutes, and it was to get a bit more consistency with that. You know, there's been 25, 30 minutes in games, we're blowing teams away and we look really good, and I know we're greedy and we want to see that all the time, but it was a professional first half, and our very best, but we were brilliant for 20 minutes after.
Yeah, you controlled the game a lot better in the second half. What was the message at half time?
Well, we changed that about a bit. A couple of tactical tweaks we've done, and that was probably, and you know what, our fitness probably took over. We looked stronger, we looked quicker, we looked faster, and we started to control the ball a lot more than them, and we never got that quite right for first half, but we got our goal, and we missed a couple of chances as well first half, but listen, they never really threatened us first half, did a good bit of the ball, but they never really threatened us, so it was a pleasing performance, a dominant performance that.
After a tough week and the criticism you received, I mean, like, has it been a tough week for you personally and the team?
No, I'm used to it. I'm afraid I've been in round this block a long time. I've been in this game over 30 years, I think. I'm used to the stick, but that's the nature of the game, isn't it? And we're in this game because we love it. We're in this game because we want to win. And I would be worried if I was standing here as a manager and we weren't performing well. But when you've seen the way that we have played at times, and the spirit of the team, and the chances we're creating, That's kept me fine, and listen, you've got to give credit to UCD, because not a lot of teams in this league will go 7 or 8 unbeaten like they've done, you know. That's not happened a lot, but as I said, very pleased with the goals and the performance. We're back up and running again, and we just need to move on and motor on.
Nice being able to empty the bench as well and give some fellas some minutes tonight.
Yeah, well, we've got a few back today. We've got Rory Feely back, we've got Greg Bulger back, so it makes a difference that we've got some players back. So listen, we're still a big work in progress. AJ is the only person that we've taken in just on loan there at the season. We've got lots of work to do with the team, and we all know that, and that's why we're in here to try and these players, but we will try and get some players in to help these boys, because these boys are doing really well, but we need to try and get some players in for competition and to help and play alongside them.
Have you identified players and had chats with the owner? And
Yeah, listen, we're looking, and it's not an easy window either, because obviously some players over here that you won't get from clubs, but we're looking over the waters at some specific type of players. We're in meetings constantly, and we've spoke to some players about trying to get them in here. So yeah, it's with the squad, we don't really need to lose players. We need to add. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. We need a strength and depth. So hopefully we can do that.
Thanks, Barry. Well done tonight.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Big Red Bench. Myself, Orla O'Leary, and a little score update for you in the Cork and Waterford match. Cork are winning by 1 point, and it is 5 points to 4 points. So that's great. Great start. We'll take it. It's very close, though, compared to what I thought it would be. But now a big game then tomorrow for our Cork footballers. And I did a match preview with Dan Casey. We are joined on the Big Red Bench with the Big Red Bench's own Dan Casey, and we are going to preview tomorrow's match, Cork versus Kerry, in the Munster final. And now, Dan, it's been 31 years since the Cork footballers won at Fitzgerald Stadium to Kerry. What do you think of that?
We won't have to wait 31 years anymore, because I think we'll win tomorrow.
No, I'm actually fairly confident, to be honest, because there's actually a good few changes on either side. Only 9 players are playing for Cork that would have played against them last year, and 7 for Kerry.
Yeah, they only have 7 of the team that started the All-Ireland final win last year. They're absolutely plagued with injuries. So if there's a time for Cork to break that duck of the 31-year championship wait in Killarney, tomorrow is going to be the day. It should be the day. And it'd be great as well. There's the new Paddy O'Shea Cup. It's been unveiled for the first time. It'd be great to have Cork's name etched on that forevermore as the first name down on that trophy.
So did they rename the Munster Cup that, is it?
It's Paddy O'Shea Cup now, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Fair play. I didn't know that. So we're very confident going into tomorrow's match. So
well, we're Cork fans. We're exactly. Always confident, no matter who we're facing anyway. If it was Real Madrid, we'd be confident of going out and beating them. But look, it's only Kerry anyway, really.
Kerry.
They have David, they have Paddy, but they're missing some of their big men. They're missing Tom O'Sullivan, the Dingle man, instrumental to their club All-Ireland win. They're missing Joe O'Connor. They're missing Shawnee O'Shea as well. So they're missing 3 big players there. Like, again, as I say, the Cork, you know, if they're going to get the win over them tomorrow, they probably have a fair crack at it tomorrow. We're missing Dara Sheedy. He's only 19, I believe. He's a monumental loss, though, just up in full forward. His ability to run from deep and run through with the ball, he will be a big loss. Brian Hurley as well. Sure, how long has he been around that Cork side? Just even as a leader as well, he's going to be a big loss, and maybe that takes away, you know, a bit of a strength from our subs bench. Well, it definitely takes away from our strength from our subs bench. But that starting team is more than capable of going out, rattling off a few scores against this Kerry side, relatively inexperienced. Yes, have the best football player in the country, potentially, of all time. But I think, actually, if you nullify his brother, Paddy, he's their playmaker. He does so much of their work. It's going to be a big task to whoever's on him. It could be Tommy Walsh, the Cantorkman, I believe, that'll match up against him, so he could have his work cut out for him. if he gets on top of him, though, it could be a good day. Dan O'Mahony is going to do a man-marking job on David Clifford, I'm fairly sure. I think 2 years ago, he absolutely had him in his back pocket. Doesn't seem to fear Clifford whatsoever. Probably one of the best man-marking players in the country, if not the best. So, I don't know. I think they'd be feeling relatively confident. You know, Kerry, Jack O'Connor trying to play themselves down as usual. The usual yerring coming from Kerry as always and their fan base. But, yeah, I think we have a good shot of winning tomorrow.
Definitely. But like what I've noticed as well, like in the last few years, and like when I was growing up, the Gaelic footballers and the hurlers were very equal. Like they both performed just as well. So is this the comeback of our footballers, do you think?
Well, our footballers were going better when our hurlers were going poor there.
True.
In around 2010. The footballers, what people forget is we have an All-Ireland and more recent history in the football than we do in the hurling. So we do have a great history of it. We have more All-Irelands in the bag than a lot of other big football counties out there. So yeah, Cork really, you know, the best dual county in the country. Is it the comeback? Look, going up to Division 1 is monumental. We can't understate that enough, I don't think. I could see us getting relegated straight back down. I think that game against Meath is going to be absolutely massive. We seem to be playing Meath every second day now because we have them in round one of the All-Ireland series coming up. That's another huge fixture. They beat us in the league final. So, yeah, is it the beginning of something new in Cork football? I'm not 100% convinced, but it's certainly going in the right direction. Cleary might finish up in a year or two, and I think he might have him in a good place for whoever comes in next, if Cleary wants to depart himself.
Ah, he's a legend, to be fair, and he seems confident enough about tomorrow's game. But Patrick Doyle now returns to goal, and Micheál Merson is gone from goal. And he has been doing very well for us this season, to be fair. But Patrick Doyle, it'd be nice to have him back now in goal, to be fair.
It is. I think it's his kick-out ability. He's really in there. I think Gaelic football across most keepers generally aren't naturally gifted a shot stop, and I don't think I'm being rude to any goalkeeper there when I say that. It just seems to be the way. They wouldn't be as good as the soccer ones in terms of shot stopping, we'll say, but they're normally in there for their kick-out ability and the tactical kind of nous that they have, and I think that's what Patrick Doyle really brings to the table, and I think that's why he's the number one choice.
Yeah, definitely. And we have Cullum O'Callaghan as well coming back. He replaces Sean Walsh. How do you feel about that one?
Cullum, look, what a midfielder. Paired up with Ian there. Like, I think he's fantastic. He's a very strong midfielder. He's going to give these Kerry lads a few headaches in the midfield. A lot of ball will be coming through that midfield area. You'd imagine he's going to have to cut a lot of that Kerry attack out. A lot of responsibility probably will fall to Cullum. So yeah, big pressure, but be absolutely no bother to them. A fine footballer.
No bother to them. Have you a score prediction now? How much are we going to win? Because we're feeling confident. How much are we going to win by tomorrow?
Well, I think we need goals. Chris Hogue, like, he's just such a big goal threat, and Kerry are going to be panicking about this guy if they are to win this cup tomorrow. So I think we're going to need two or three if we're going to win, really. Probably three, to be totally honest about it, just because how good Clifford is and their scoring ability can be down the other end of the pitch. So I'm going to say, oh Jesus, Cork 3-16 to Kerry 1-20.
Okay, interesting. And I'm just going to go by we win by 2 points because it's always very close at Fitzgerald Stadium.
We'll hope it's close anyway. I think, if it's close, I'd probably fancy Kerry. I'd hope we'd go and put a statement down. You know, get the scores in early because our bench, I would have concerns about it that we'd be able to kick on coming down the home straight. So I'd like to kind of maybe get us a bit of a cushion, but that's going to be very hard down at Killarney. Really looking forward to it, though. Should be a great occasion. I haven't been down to Killarney for a football game in a long, long time. So the town should be absolutely hopping. Should be a great atmosphere around. Look, you know, obviously the bit to start is just a bit of joking around. Like, Kerry are a serious outfit no matter who's playing for them. But I do believe Cork are going to get the win tomorrow. I just feel it. It's our time, hopefully.
It's a gut feeling. Thank you very much, Dan, for coming on to the show.
No bother. Pleasure as always.
You're listening to the Big Red Bench and a little score update for you on the Cork and Waterford game. It is a very, very close game. It is 8 points Waterford, 8 points Cork. So not particularly what we were expecting today down at Walsh Park. But coming up next on the Big Red Bench, let's hear now from the man in charge. Here's John Cleary, pre-Munster final, and he is speaking to Harry Hayden.
So Harry Hayden here with the Big Red Bench with Cork Senior Football Manager John Cleary. John, first Munster final in 5 years. What's the feeling in the camp at the moment?
The feeling in the camp is one of great anticipation. Really looking forward to it. The last couple of years we haven't been there. Unfortunately, look, we came up against Kerry in semi-finals and weren't, able to get over the line and into the final. But look, the draw swung another way this year, and we're really looking forward now to the final.
Just going back to Saturday's game, obviously against Tip, you said yourself that the lads maybe had one eye on that game in Killarney. How important is it that you do put in a full 70-minute performance against obviously what are the All Ireland champions at the moment?
That's going to be it's going to be a tough game. They are the All Ireland champions. They're formidable opposition, and look, if we're not in our game, we'll know we'll be made pay. But on the other hand, we know what we're capable of ourselves, and we've proved in the past we're not that far away from them, and we're just hoping first of all to put in a performance, and then the result will take care of itself then.
1995, that was the last time Cork won down in Killarney. Although obviously on paper it's an unbelievably difficult game, you're playing a side who obviously started this year in a league above you, All-Ireland champions. How amazing though of an opportunity is it for your group and for yourself as well, because there'll be a lot of players and a lot of fans of course who've never seen Cork win down in Killarney. How special of an opportunity does this present?
I suppose we're just looking forward to the game now, and the 70 minutes, and I don't think any of us are thinking when Cork won their last or whatever. That's for other people to talk about. If we do get over the line, that's something that we can talk about afterwards. But all we're concentrated now is the 70 minutes inside the white line in Killarney, and everything else will look after itself.
Just obviously your subs made a huge difference on Saturday in what you said yourself wasn't the best first half, but you really pulled away in the second half, especially after the substitute. Do you have sort of any idea what your strongest 15 would be for that game in Sunday week?
There's what's happening at the moment, a lot of guys putting their hands up to be included, and we still have a few more days to go and a few more training sessions, so the first of all is we'll just have to see who's available, injury wise, that we all come through the training sessions, and then we'll see who's in form, and we'll try and come up with what we think is the best 15 to start, and also then we have to see what who are the guys best placed to come on and make a difference when the game hopefully is in the melting pot in the second half.
Just on injuries, is there any update on Dar Sheedy or Brian Hurley's injuries?
Brian is unlikely to make the Killarney at this stage. Dara is getting better, but yeah, Maybe Sunday week might come too soon for him, but we'll see as the week is going on.
And any new fresh injuries?
No, not at this particular time, no.
Just also obviously Kerry, I know you suffered a league defeat final to Meath a few weeks ago, but Kerry, they obviously lost quite heavily to Donegal. Does that almost give you a bit of encouragement that they can definitely be got at, this Kerry side?
I think league and championship are completely different, that was one competition that finished, and probably this new competition now, the championship, is weather is getting better, pitches are getting harder, and I don't think it was the be-all and end-all for Kerry in the league. Donegal seemed to be, on top of their game, very good team. And but look, we've went toe-to-toe with Kerry the last couple of years, and that's what we're hoping to do again on next Sunday.
And how do you sort of plan to deal with the threat of, a lot of Cork fans will be worried about the threat of Davy Clifford, obviously, for Kerry.
Yeah, not easy. I think any team that plays Kerry, that's the number one goal. But I think, look, we'll just have to trust the guys we have. They've been there before. I don't think you'll ever probably totally nullify a player of David Clifford's or even Paddy Clifford's stature, but we'd be hoping to limit that. And also then on the other side, we feel we've very, very good forwards that, if we get a supply ball, I think that we could hurt them as well.
and just overall sort of your reflection on the year so far, obviously, because you know you're back in Division 1 now. I know you obviously lost the league final, but you're in a Munster final for the first time in 5 years. You're also seeded now for the Sam Maguire as well. Just overall, what has your reflection been on the year so far?
Look, we'd have to say it is, you know, it's a work in progress, but we would be have to be happy, you know. Our aim was to get promotion, and you know, we had a hiccup along the way in Derry, but look, we still picked up 12 points, which was you know, to win 6 out of the 7 games. We had 4 games on the road, 3 in the north, and we came out of there and we were promoted. League final, alright, but we went toe-to-toe on another day. We might have got over the line. Wasn't the end of the world that we would got beaten in that, and then our next focus was in the championship. We knew we had to, you know, get over Limerick first, and then we'd probably take you on to the tip, and that's what we've done. So we're happy enough with that, and you know, it's a case now of knuckling down and getting ready for next Sunday.
Would you say it's almost a treat, this Munster final, or is it the full focus? Because obviously you're now seeded for Sam Maguire as well, or how important is it to kind of just look at the Munster final?
It's, you know, we'd be going in all guns blazing. You know, it's something really we'd love to win it, and you know, it's the very fact we're playing the All-Ireland champions in their home patch, it makes it even extra special. So no, we won't be holding back one bit. We're really going for this, and we'll whatever happens, we'll dust ourselves down and go again 2 weeks after that for the All-Ireland series.
And just finally, a word for the under-20s who obviously have their final on Thursday in Tralee.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we'll be all behind them 110%. Hopefully now they can set the tone for us the following week. They had a great win last week against Waterford, and a great win the previous week against Kerry, so hopefully that they can continue that. They have some, you know, excellent players, you know, well coached, and you know, hopefully that they can get these couple of weeks off to a good start.
Thanks very much, Sean. Best of luck.
All right, Harry.
No problem.
The Big Red Bench. Corks. Red FM.
Hello and good evening. You are listening to The Big Red Bench. So coming up next on the show, we have former Cork footballer Colm O'Neill, who is speaking to our very own Dan Casey.
Right, we're delighted to be joined here on The Big Red Bench by an absolute Cork legend, Colm O'Neill. It is great to have you on. We're previewing Cork versus Kerry. We'll be previewing it a week early, but this will be going out the day before the game. Should be a big atmosphere down in Killarney. What are you expecting from the occasion itself?
Yeah, Dan, thanks for having me. As I say, looking forward to now. What are we? As I say, we're a week out now. I suppose it hasn't really kind of sunk in yet. It'll probably be Monday or Tuesday when the real talk and atmosphere will ramp up. But I suppose what'll be interesting then, from a car point of view, is what kind of team Kerry are going to. It'd be interesting. We'd have a lot kind of greater idea what kind of a game we're going to have when the teams are actually announced, because look, I think it's well documented now that in particular the injuries that Kerry have, and Cork after picking up their own injuries as well. So it's very hard to call until you kind of see the team on paper, and I suppose when they're lining out, because as I said, I think a lot and in particular Kerry are down a number of players. So from a Cork point of view, just thinking back on the last game against Tipperary, I was actually at it down in Thurles. It wasn't overly convincing, though, if I'm being honest. I think it was level there about 50 minutes ago, and only probably for the introduction of Ryan Hurley and Rory Dean probably kind of gave him that bit of experience and got him more. Now, in the end, it was probably the scoreline probably flattered him a small bit. But look, it mightn't be a bad way to be coming into a Munster final against Kerry, to be coming in under the radar.
Absolutely. And just the atmosphere and occasion of Fitzgerald Stadium, Killarney. Well, what do you have any memories of playing down there?
Yeah, it's probably outside of it's probably one of outside of probably obviously Parky Cueven Crow Park. Like, it's always, for some reason, the weather always seems to be a Munster final, and the weather always seems to play its part as well. It always seems to be scorch every day, and those in particular the games we've played have been kind of very, very close now. I think it's 1995. I think the last time Cork actually won down in Kerry, which is a stat that's not very very nice to be listened to. But in particular, I suppose 2015 is one that springs to memory. It's probably one that personally I think that we should have got broken that hoodoo and got over the line that day. I think I was listening to a podcast during the week, James, I don't know who was mentioning it, that game in particular, he says it's probably one that got away, and I could hold my hand up myself personally. I remember I'd probably hit a 45, I think time was up at a 45, but probably it would have been the last kick of the game if I would put it dead. But all I wanted to do was just kick the ball as hard as I could and get the letter off the ball, and just a banana kick then. Of course, I went away from my routine. I didn't just usually, but just like make sure about get the stroke right. But all I just wanted to do was worry about kick it as hard as I can. A banana kick. I think it was caught under the post maybe by David Moore and walked up the pitch. And it was Sean Fitzgerald. I think he'd probably claim he was going for a point, but he definitely wasn't going for a point. It was trying to drop it in, and the wind kind of caught it and went over the bar. And ref blew it up after that. And unfortunately, Kerry won the replay. So that was probably a memory that kind of stings. Now it was a fantastic game, a great game, but I think that's one that probably got away from us. So great memories in terms of games, but not great in terms of results, let's put it like that.
Are we in the precipice of the Cork-Kerry rivalry coming back a small bit, do you think, with us going up to Division 1? They'll be looking to keep that 30-year hoodoo at bay anyway for the time being as well. It seems like they have an opportunity now to try to kill us off before you really get going.
Yeah, I hope so, Dan. Look, as you said, it's mad to think like 1995 since Cork last won down in Killarney. But I think to be fair to Cork Kerry games, they kind of take a life of their own, really. Like, kind of form goes out the window. Like you would say, Cork might have been operating in Division 3 and 2 in the last number of years, and you have Kerry winning Division 1 titles, but when it comes to Cork and Kerry, like you've seen results over the last few years, like that really goes out the window. And Cork are probably the one team, I hope I'm not going to jinx them here now, but they're the one team probably in the last number of years that would have put it up to Kerry consistently. Like last year, they took them to a replay, they took them to extra time down in Parky Cueven in the Super 8s again. They gave them enough. So, like, as I said, form really goes out the window. But look, I think it's an opportunity. As you said, Kerry probably are not at full strength. So it probably gives Cork an opportunity to go after this one. And as you said, trying to break that record.
Yeah, well, at least we have a McGrath Cup win at the start of the year as well. Over. Yeah, it might be something. It was in Killarney. The loss of Dara Sheedy, however, I know you mentioned Hurley earlier. He'll be another huge loss, of course. But this young player, what an absolute talent Dara looks like.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah, it's an awful pity for him. No, I was at it was actually against Kerry, funny enough, in under 20, where he came off injured. I was actually at the game, and he came off after 10 or 12 minutes. What seemed to be a hamstring injury, and that was kind of 3 weeks ago now, so maybe next week could be 4 weeks, so it'll be tight. I'd say like they'll probably do all they can to try and get him back on the pitch, but if he is to play, he won't have an awful lot done. It's an awful pity, because he was probably one of the shining lights throughout the league for Cork. I seen him in a number of games against Meath in Parky Ring there last month. He was exceptional, and even against Limerick against Limerick in the quarter final, he got a great goal early that day. So, like, it's a pity that he won't be a full tilt. And obviously Brian came off the last day, so I'd say time could be against him as well. But if you had them two lads, obviously Dara to start maybe and Brian to come on, like, that's their two great talents. But look, please God that we'll see him at some stage throughout the year. But if they are to play, they can't have an awful lot done. So look, it's unfortunate, but look, it gives opportunity for other lads, the likes of maybe Conor Corbett, Cathal Amany, or the likes, someone like them to come on and step up to the plate. So granted, it's going to be, they are two huge losses, but look, they won't be dwelling on that too much, I'm sure.
Yeah, who do Kerry have to be worried about, Oran, do you feel?
I think that like if Cork are going to get a result here, like we'll need probably 7 out of 10 from our inside line. Chris Oak, Mark Cronin and Sherlock are probably our main scorers in chief, and they have been, in fairness to them, throughout the league. Chris Oak has been very threatening, a fierce goal threat, and obviously you have Stephen Sherlock, who has the 2 points, 2 point kick in his locker. And Mark Cronin, to be fair to him, the last day against Tipperary, was the one forward that was probably early on when it wasn't going our way. He was asking questions. He kind of showed great leadership. Anytime he got the ball, he took on his man. He won frees. He got scores, and he kind of took the game to Tipperary. So, like, if we're to get a result, we're probably going to have to get. They're going to have to probably have 7 or 10 games. But I think Kerry are probably going to be worried about our two midfielders. And I think that's where the game is going to be won and lost. To be honest, it's around the midfield, and we're fortunate to have Colm McAllen and Lee McGuire. And Colm McAllen, to be fair, has been one of the players, in my opinion, one of the best midfielders so far that I've seen this year. He's just a powerhouse under the high ball. He's physique. He's driving forward. He can kick the score. He's probably with himself in Ian, like. And it's well documented. Just last day against Clare, it was Mark O'Shea and Dermot O'Connor started midfield. So you've obviously Joe O'Connor. Not sure what his story is, but he was out the last day. So I think that's probably an area where Cork feel that they might get some value out of it. And I think Kerry probably where they feel like they're not the strongest. And I think that was evidenced by the league final, where Donegal really got after them around the middle of the field and the middle eight. So I think if John Cleary and co are looking back at the videos of how to maybe stifle Kerry, it'll be around that midfield battle and just going back. I know it's a long-winded answer, but I believe Shane Ryan will probably be under pressure as well for this weekend. So, like, and he's all-star goalie last year, so he's a huge loss. Now, granted, Shane Murphy is a top-class goalie, but Shane Ryan just seems to have that steady presence around the Kerry backline and around the kickouts, very composed. So I don't think we could underestimate his loss as well. So if Cork are going to get something out of this game, they're going to have to win the midfield battle.
There'll be so much talk, as always, about the Cliffords in this one. It looks like Shawnee O'Shea is out, so we'll have to worry about the two Cliffords and Paul Gainey, probably most likely. Surely Dan O'Mahony takes up David, and then after that, what way do you think it'll go?
Yeah, as I said, reports are that Shawnee O'Shea would be out. Look, again, that'll be, we probably know that closer to time, but if he was out, like, Dan O'Mahony, to be fair to him, to give him his dues, is probably, if he always gets the job of going on to the opposition's best forward as such, and he's picked up David in the last number of years, and to be fair to him, give him his dues, he's given enough of it. And there's not many now could hold their hand up with David to give him a good game, but they seem to have a great battle all the time. A lot of off the ball stuff as well, which both players seem to like, but I'd be surprised if he don't pick up David. And then in terms of Paddy Clifford, and in my opinion, it's probably a more important task is who's going to stop Paddy, because I think Paddy really makes David click. If you can limit Paddy's influence on the game, limit the amount of time he gets on the ball, amount of time he's creating opportunities for the Kerry forward, because their forward line kind of hums when he's going well. So I'd expect, like in previous years, it's been Matty Taylor who'd been tasked to pick him up and who has done a good job on him as well. But obviously Matty is out as well. So if I was to pick now, without seeing a team, I'd imagine Tommy Walsh might go on him. Now I know he'd be probably be named centre back as well, and naturally I'd say Paddy probably be named at 11 as well. But I would be surprised if Tommy don't go on him. Now, I suppose one out of the blue that I wouldn't mind seeing maybe go on Paddy would be Brian O'Driscoll. Would be kind of a funny move. Now he's played a lot of his game at wing forward, but he's played numerous games throughout his intercounty career at wing back. He's a good man marker. He has a good engine, and he might be able to ask questions of Paddy going back to field, because he started the last game, but he doesn't have a whole lot of minutes under his belt as well. So that's a really important matchup that Cork can get that right, because, as I say, if we can nullify Paddy's influence, we'll be doing well in getting a result.
All right, coming to the end here, where do you think it'll be won and lost on the day?
Yeah, again, look, without repeating myself, I think just the midfield battle. A lot of what I mentioned already, as I say, Mark O'Shea and Dermot O'Connor. Dermot O'Connor, again, I know he kicked 3 points against Clare the last day. I seen clips of the game. He looked fresh, he looked lively, but again, he doesn't have an awful lot of game time under his belt, whereas Colm and Ian have built a good, formidable partnership now throughout the league, and they know each other's game inside out, so if we can win that midfield battle and limit, I suppose, the possession Kerry getting, I think we'll go an awful long way. And then again, look, it's it's the David, it's the Cliffords really. Like, I think they got 2-10 between them the last day. I think David got 1-7, Paddy got 1-2. So if you can nullify them, I know it's easier said than done, but if you can nullify their influence and win the midfield battle, I think we'll have a good shot.
Lastly, do Cork break the 30-year hoodoo?
That's fine. Do you know what? I'd be more confident giving you an answer maybe Thursday or Friday when the teams are announced. Mm-hmm. But going right here and now, my heart says yes. My head says no, purely going on the performance and the injuries that Cork have picked up. I hope I'm wrong, but is it something they can do? Absolutely, they can. But as I say, I think we need really good performances on our inside line, and if we can nullify, as I said, the party, David and Paddy, which is easier said than done. But come here, in Clarny as well, and I know Kerry probably want to put down a mark as well. I know they got a lot of criticism after the league final, and I was talking to a lot of people after the league final, and Cork lost the league final and Kerry well beaten. A lot of people were saying, ah, look, at least Kerry were beat. But I was saying, I hope we don't get the sting of that in the Munster Championship, because they went off and did their training camp, and I'm sure they'll be anxious to put down a marker and just to give a reminder to the rest of the country to say that they're not going away. But look, if we can be in it with 10 minutes to go, I think it gives ourselves a right chance.
Which is more likely, Cork break this 30-year hoodoo or your Arsenal break their 20-year hoodoo?
Oh, God. I think more likely Cork, to be honest, than Arsenal at this stage. As I say, it's Saturday now, and we've Fulham to play now this evening, which will be a tough task. But I'd be more confident, to be honest, in Cork breaking it than Arsenal doing it now at this stage.
Oh God, Colin, I feel for you. But look, thanks so much for coming on. Really appreciate it, and hopefully we'll talk to you again at some stage.
No bother. Thanks, Dan.
Poor Arsenal getting jabs left, right and centre from everyone, but that's the game of life, isn't it? You're listening to The Big Red Bench with myself, Orla O'Leary. And now a little update for you on the Cork and Waterford match at Walsh Park. It is half time and the second half is about to resume shortly, but it's very close. Waterford do lead 14 points to 13 points. So we're just going to see how it goes. Now we're going to move on to MMA. So ahead of his Elite Fighting Championship title defence on tonight at Blackrock Hurling Club, Luca Nadarashvili talks to Rory about his beginnings in MMA, his team at MMA Cork, and preparing for tonight's fight.
All right, we're going to talk MMA on the show now when the Elite Fighting Championships returns to Blackrock Hurling Club this coming Saturday night for an absolutely massive card featuring four title fights. And I'm delighted to say one of the champions has joined me now. Luca, how are you, sir?
All good. Yourself?
Good. Thanks very much indeed for joining us. I suppose it's been a hectic few months for you, I suppose, being the ESC champion. I mean, like, how much of an honour is that, first off?
Oh, it's been unbelievable. Even in the gym, you know, the lads have been teasing me a little bit, but it's been, apart from that, though, it's been real. It's been, life's been good.
Yeah, delighted to hear that as well. Take me back to start, Luke, I suppose, how you got started in MMA, and talk to us a bit about your journey up to this point.
I've always kind of, you know, been into fighting, do you know what I mean? Like, my dad got me in, kind of, even just judo or whatever, just to, you know, as a man, to defend yourself, kind of way. And then I joined boxing, and then I was kind of messing around with it for a bit. But then I kind of started taking seriously then when I kind of matured a little bit. And then that club kind of shut down. Then I moved into jiu-jitsu. And then I moved to MMA Cork then, I think it was 2023, with Aaron and Jack McGuire. And ever since then, I just stuck at it. Ever since the first day, I've just been loving it. So, mm-hmm. Here we are now.
Yeah, talk to me about Aaron and Jack, I suppose the two brothers that that run MMA Cork, and the path that they've put you on, and the support they provided you on your journey.
Oh, they've been amazing. They've been nothing but great help. Like, Jack as well, be one of my main sparring partners. Like, so imagine like sparring him every day. You know, you're guaranteed to get amazing as well. Like, he's fighting an octagon. And Aaron as well, you know, he is that knowledge. He just sees things maybe we don't see. And he just, he's unbelievable as well. Just the knowledge he can give us is just unbelievable.
But also just two very humble guys who are just keen to pass on everything they know.
100%, 100%.
Yeah, it's fantastic to see. So how would you describe yourself as a fighter, Luca?
I'd say cool, calm, and collected, to be honest. At the start, kind of my debut and maybe the second fight, I was kind of, you know, a bit too jumpy in this. But I think now I get in there, I think I'm relaxed. You know, I like to kind of think that the cage is mine. That kind of way, do you know what I mean? That I'm in charge, and I think that kind of makes me kind of calmer in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And how have you found, I suppose, like fighting on EFC cards? And I suppose, talk to us a little bit about the work that Barry O'Callaghan is doing to put on, I suppose, some of the best MMA cards in the country.
For sure. Barry's been doing an unbelievable job. You know, just behind the scenes, what he does is unbelievable. Fair play to him, honestly. Fair play to him. The EFC as well is, I think, the best promotion, if not one of the best promotions in Ireland right now. And fighting for EFC is, I say, one of the handiest things ever for the Cork fighters anyway, because just down the road from us, you know. Like, I had a fight there up in IUR, and it was a bit of a trek now to get up there, like, but EFC, you know, Barry does it right as well. You know, the venue is unbelievable, the production is next level, pay per view and all that stuff. You can't go wrong. Barry's doing an unbelievable job.
Yeah, it's a fantastic setup. In fairness, and just what you touched on there, Luke, as well, just being able to fight at home in front of your hometown crowd and having your fans there must be a massive help for you when you step into that cage.
100%. As like, sure, all my friends and family be coming to my fights, and as I always said, there's no losing. You know, in front of all the friends and family, like, not a hope, like, cheering me on. You know, I was only saying to the lads the last day that actually, like, gives me a bit of an extra push, because I'm like, people screaming your name, do this, do that. I'm like, nah, not a hope. I can lose in front of the crowd, like, not a. Can't be doing it, like, you can't.
Talk to me about your last fight against Michael Connolly in EFC just before Christmas, when you were crown champion. What kind of fight that was?
It was a very good fight. Very good fight. You know, we knew what kind of opponent Michael was. We knew he was a top quality opponent. So we had a good game plan going in there. I think the game plan worked well. Michael obviously done very well as well. It was a close fight, and it was a high level fight. And I'm actually excited to see his fight now on this show as well.
Yeah, it was a cracking contest between you two guys. What's the feeling like though when you're waiting for that result to be read out? Were you 100% confident you'd done enough to get the win?
I knew it was a close fight, but I thought I'd done enough to get the decision win. I knew it was going to be split, but I even said into my corner there when just before we went to get hand raised, I said I was like, I think I done enough there to get that. So I knew that I was like, split decision me, I think. So
yeah, because some fighters when they hear split decision, they'll kind of go, oh no, what happened there?
100%.
Because it can go either way, but it was a fantastic performance by yourself, and it was great to see you crowned champion. So what's training been like over the last couple of months heading into this fight?
Oh, it's been unbelievable. I definitely feel very, very just faith strong. I say definitely one of the best shapes I've ever been in as well. Weight is unbelievable. I'm way lighter going into this fight than I actually was against Michael. So that's another plus. Even like weight cut now, I feel good. You know, I'm low carbs, water loading, and I still feel unbelievable. Like, so I can't wait. My training's been unbelievable. Just been doing a lot of training, pads, strength and conditioning, rounds after rounds with high level guys. I've been even going around to other gyms up in Dublin. Been doing the squat sessions. Mm-hmm. Sure, I've been doing a lot, so I can't wait to show it now this Saturday.
And going to other gyms, Luke, I'd imagine is a good thing to, I suppose, open up your eyes to new styles, new methods of training and all that.
Exactly. To get different bodies, different styles. Because sometimes you get too comfortable at home. You know, knowing the people you're sparring, that you just kind of switch off and you're just kind of happy to, you know, kind of flow a little bit, whereas new bodies, you know, you kind of have to be switched on and kind of doing your best.
And you talk about the weight cut as well, Luke. Every fighter I talk to, like, struggles with weight cuts. It's a part of the game. It's a very tough part of the game. It's that week coming up and getting down to weight for weighing on Friday. But you say, like, you're in a better shape than you were this time, and hopefully that weight cut now, we're on Wednesday now, so hopefully that'll be a lot easier for you come Friday.
Oh, 100%. I'm actually kind of shocked on how light I am and how easy it is going to be to make this weight. Yeah, just wasn't expecting it at all, but stuck to the diet, stuck to the training, and here we are, ready to rock.
Yeah, hopefully it's a good sign for Saturday night. So when you go into like a training camp, is there like specific areas where you look at, say, look, I want to work on this in this training camp, I want to work on that in this training camp?
Not really. Like, obviously now when we get the opponent, we kind of do a bit of fight study and see what kind of style they have. And then as we touched on there earlier, how good Aaron is. And then just kind of, we do kind of fight simulations. So we just try to do as many rounds of kind of mimicking, we'd get sparring partners for me, kind of mimicking the guy I'm fighting. So in this case, Tom. And we just go from there. And I think we've done an incredible job. And I can't wait. I can't wait for Saturday.
And it is Tom Buckley facing a 7-1 fighter out of Samson. So a nice Cork derby heading into Saturday night.
Oh, 100%. It'll be packed. It will be packed.
Have you seen Tom fight before?
Watched a few of his fights. I watched his fight live there against Rory Burke. Good fight. It was a very good fight. So I'm excited. I'm excited for what's to come.
Are you one of the fighters then, like, who would watch a lot of film and a lot of tape on their opponent, or just kind of stick to your own game plan? Because I've noticed over the years when I've talked to fighters, it's kind of a 50-50 split between fighters who say, yeah, I've watched everything they've done, and the other 50% like, no, I'm just going to concentrate myself. I'll be grand kind of.
I say I'm quite in the middle as well, do you know what I mean? Like, I watch a few of his fights. Like, I think you have to kind of just get an understanding of what he's about, what he's good at, what he's not good at. I think it'd be a bit silly now if I didn't, you know. But then again, on the other side, you know, I'm just kind of focusing on my game and getting better. Because at the end of the day, it is amateurs, and, you know, we all have to just level up. But yeah, of course, I watched a good few of his fights, and he probably done the same with me, like, so.
Yeah, 100%. And like, how does his style, I suppose, match up to your style then?
I think his style and my style, I think it's going to be a cracker of a fight. I think it's going to be an amazing fight. It's going to be, without saying too much now, I think it's just going to be, I think Saturday night, people won't want to miss out. It's going to be a very, very high level fight.
Yeah, looking forward to it immensely. And look, plenty of other MMA Cork talent, plenty of other Cork talent on the card as well. As always, I suppose, with the ZFC cards.
Plenty of fights. Plenty of fights. We have a lot of title fights, a lot of pro fights. MAGA, I'm very excited for that. MAGA is looking incredible. He sparring him is crazy. He's just next level. We got Mikey as well. Mikey's in unbelievable shape. He's ready to rock. We got Alex Murray. Ah, oh, it's too many boys to name.
You're listening to the Big Red Bench, and it has come to the end of the show. And the second half of Waterford and Cork has just kicked off, or throwing whatever, and it's still the same score. 14 points Waterford, 13 points Cork. So I will catch you again at the same time between 6 and 7pm on the Big Red Bench tomorrow.
The Big Red Bench. Cork's Red FM.